I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, Express Times, Courier News, Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call?
Sure. Councilman Strauss?
Absent.
Absent. Councilman Kaczynowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Here.
Council President Malay is absent tonight, and Mayor Higgins.
Here. Right. We have a quorum.
Yep.
Barely. Mm-hmm. So, first order of business is the council acting as the Board of Health, so we'll sort of adjourn as the council.
Where
does
she go?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Here she
is. Now she's back. And we'll reconvene as the Board of Health. And we have a variance requested for a septic system repair on 14 Old Mountain Road, Lot 16, Lot 45. And the county's gone, let's see, it's 703 or something, and Councilman Strauss is here. And looks like everything passed muster except for where the adjacency to the sewer basin.
Storm drain.
Right.
Yeah. And the letter says that it's 20 feet proposed from the drain, and it's really going to be about 24 feet, if that matters. But in order to keep the disposal bed meeting all the requirements and 50 feet from the storm drain, mm-hmm. we would need to rotate that bed parallel to the road, and we would have a 4-foot cut on the high side of the bed. Or else have it sticking out of the ground 4 feet and never meet grade down to the road.
Yeah.
In addition, we wouldn't be 100 feet from the well. Mm-hmm. We're about 50 feet from the storm drain. And you wouldn't have a usable yard if you made that 4-foot cut. Because as you go towards the house, it just keeps getting steeper and steeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it would wind up being a cliff. And also if we kept the bed so it was 50 feet from the storm drain, we would be within the old bed area. Mm-hmm. So we'd have to remove all of that and bury that somewhere on site, probably within 50 feet of the storm drain too. And it is a fill and close system, which helps prevent this, the sewage flow from going sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel confident that sewage effluent would not get into the storm drain.
Seems, to me personally, it seems like a fairly minor exception or waiver. Anybody on council have any issues with that?
No.
All right, then. I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
And Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too. Next up is the consent agenda. We have Chapter 159 items, and catching up on an appointment for John Drill as our COA special attorney. These are very typical kinds of things, so we can vote on them all at once. Any questions, concerns, or anything from council?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll make the motion then.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And we're now up to public comment. I see the deer contingent. I'm sure they'll have comments later. And the other two folks are usually pretty quiet, so. All right. Well, occasionally Bill isn't. But,
He'll wait till the last public comment.
There you go.
That's your MO.
Not too short.
All right, so
Mayor,
we're moving.
Mayor.
Oops, please.
Is this the time to
sure. Well, for deer, we have a work session coming up.
Not for deer.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sure.
Excuse me.
Not for deer.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. With a beard, just kind of look like
right.
A hunter.
I have my name is Andrew West, 20 Cedar Grove Road.
handed down the jersey. This is what I have to look at every morning when I wake up. Guy across the street, I've talked to him twice over the last 2 years, doesn't seem to be helping. I don't understand why somebody can't do something about the problem.
I'm sorry, what road is this?
Cedar Road.
What's this number?
18.
Is this the infamous house that changed hands?
No.
Okay, this is a second one.
It's been rebuilt and it's on the market.
That's what I thought. Okay.
That was number 10.
We do have an ordinance, looking at the various vehicles there, that, let's put it this way. A vehicle without a registration, a valid registration that's parked more than 10 days can be a problem.
It's been 15 years now.
And storage for, that's a trailer, storage for certain things also must be in a side yard in the street for different RVs, the motorhomes, for lack of a better word. And it may also include trailers, I'm not quite sure, but...
If it's a commercial vehicle, do you have any commercial vehicles there?
Well, there's generators and wood chippers and Mr. DC is also familiar with this guy. He was right around the corner.
Is this part of a business, would you say? Collector items?
He's a welder, and he's welding in my neighbor's garage over the winter. He took over his garage, brought some of his equipment down there, and was welding all night. So
There is a provision for customary home businesses. I'm not sure welding is like a dentist's office or a small doctor's office or an accountant's office.
All right.
I apologize. I know we had an issue with the kids parking their cars along the roadway at the high school right around the corner.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know whether that got resolved. Was that just through...
I think the owner of that property said no.
Okay.
You can't do it.
They changed their mind.
Yes.
Because they had kids.
He was doing a favor for her daughter, and her daughter's 300 friends.
Right.
Right. We also changed some parking regulations to make sure it didn't travel up the hill and to the right.
That's a separate issue.
Am I allowed to bring up another item, or do I have to sit down?
Sure. I mean, you're...
All right. January 12, 2018, I did some correspondence with Mr. Landon about work on my drainage problem I have. Cedar Grove is on the tentative list for an overlay, but there's also a problem he looked at with Jay. I don't know who Jay is.
Public Works.
Okay. And they say it did need work, which is a problem where my I have no curbing, and there's like a gully, and all the water comes down the hill and runs down my driveway. And I have pictures of all the drainage issues.
Is there a drainage easement involved or anything of that sort?
No, I don't think so. So I was wondering if you guys could have a look at that again.
Sure. Okay. And, but on the pictorial exhibit...
The street itself is just falling apart. Mm-hmm. You come and pave it, or you come in a patch it, and the patching gets chewed up, and then it just runs down my driveway.
Well, the good news is given the conditions, the average conditions of our township streets, I do get a fair amount of correspondence on stuff like this. And I've told a good number of people, last year we bought a steamroller, a little, roller. And this year we just purchased what's called a hot box, so... Instead of cold patch, we can now, when it's delivered in a few weeks, we'll be able to purchase hot mix and, the tar that goes along with it, and then we'll be able to roll things out. So if it needs a patch, we'll be equipped to do a patch very shortly, a real patch that doesn't disintegrate the first time we snow plow or, after a couple of months in the summer.
Any word on paving?
We're only doing one street this year. David Post. But no, if on the housekeeping problem, I would suggest that you make a stop in and talk to Tom Sylvia, our zoning officer, and ask him about the storage requirements in our ordinances for vehicles and, trailers and that sort of thing. And if, in fact, it looks like somebody's running a business in somebody's garage, I might also mention that and see if that should be looked at.
Okay.
Okay.
He's on vacation this week, so Monday.
Yeah.
I would talk to him.
I would also say, an overall, you know, make your house look tidy ordinance is really, really difficult. Our land use attorney, and we have discussed that at the planning board several times, and basically people can be pigs. But if you've got specific sorts of requirements in terms of storage of boats or trailers or motorhomes and things like that, those are actionable. So we don't have an overall umbrella thing, but we try to attack dead cars, you know, on the front lawn or even in the driveway, and things like, you know, ugly stuff that ought to be screened.
Yeah, I have a similar view at the farm behind me. There's nothing you can do. Farm equipment.
Yeah.
You know, the
Mellick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, at least there should be perhaps a partial remedy that might encourage.
And then maybe they'll get the idea.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Anybody else? Okay. Well, let's go on to reports. Councilman Scott.
All right, thank you. The Clinton Township Environmental Commission met, and I'm just going to surmise some items from it. A liaison was picked to the Open Space Committee, Mayor, which I'm sure you're aware of.
Oh, terrific.
Patricia Buriak.
Mm-hmm.
Buriak was chosen to be the liaison between the two. The commission also conducted a self-assessment and made some changes based on the state of New Jersey's environmental commissions and making sure we're up to date with everything. And also, as a result of a joint meeting back on May 23rd, they were in support of the master plan for the township, which I believe, Mayor, you were a part of that discussion. So things kind of slow down for the summer, looking at a meeting towards the end of July, and again, continuing to move forward. And I think Mr. Holt has done a great job so far this year chairing that committee. With the school district, Clinton Township School District, I was able to get some letters that were sent out, I would assume only to the people who have kids enrolled in Clinton Township, and they had a fact-finding session last week where they hired a fact-finder because they're at an impasse right now over health care with the union. So I guess in order to control rumors and whatnot, the Board of Ed put out a letter as well as the superintendent just saying that here's where we're at. We're basically stuck on health care. Paperwork has been filed with PERC. And they're hoping that either between this fact-finding session or what comes in with PERC, they can come to an agreement. But fact-finding quicker than PERC. So
they actually specified that was what was holding it up, the healthcare?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
So they're concerned about it because of the declining monies that are allocated out of Trenton to school districts, that it might be a big impact to the budgets in the township if depending on which way it goes. So but that's about it. I figured that was the most noteworthy thing to bring up. And when Jess, when it comes to you, we just touch on the ring.com again. Mm-hmm. I forget where we left off with that, as you saw in my email on the other day. So thank you.
Planning board meeting on June 17th canceled for lack of items. That's my report.
That's summertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's starting to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
Things are fairly quiet with me as well. Planning board, as you say, was canceled. Open space is actually tomorrow night, so I don't have one of those to report on. We have made, outside of the open space regular meetings, we've made a lot of progress on this deer culling program, and we're going to discuss that later this evening. So there has been some activity there. I'm probably forgetting something, but like usual, if I remember it, by the time we get down to Ryan, I'll have it written down and I'll mention it.
Okay. Historic met in the beginning of June. We're going to not have a July one because of around the holiday. We talked about the newsletter. They did put an article in there. I was hoping to ask Brian for some of his articles. For some reason, we can't get a hold of those. Or any of Brian's, and he's been the main writer. So I'll talk to him about that because his articles were fabulous. So we're going to just recoup some of those and add on. Of course, you have to update these things. Talked about the vacant building ordinance again. And I think now we have a better understanding after going through it a few times. You know, frustrating to see vacant buildings sitting there. So, you know, I've just tried to reiterate that we are doing everything possible, following the ordinance and doing the fines in the courts. And, you know, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah, we're, you know, we're actually seeing some movement there.
Right, yeah, right. It's
better than it was.
Right.
Two that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Concord? Ercolano.
Oh, I did see Ercolano.
Down across from the Catholic Church. That was on the auto dealer's property, the house.
Okay.
Went home today, it's gone.
Really?
Hopefully they got a permit. It's gone.
Details.
Yeah, details, right. Yeah. So that's good. It's working.
Yeah.
In fact, the house, I didn't mention this for the septic repair, but the house was owned by a bank, and presumably, it was built in 1972. Presumably, they're repairing it and getting it fixed up to get on the market. So you see stuff like that out there.
It's working.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, I don't know if you did the last council meeting, June 12th, you and Jesse. We went to Windy Acres mm-hmm. with a Boy Scout representative, and, you know, we looked at the property. He gave us some ideas of how we can get some donations, and if we do some pavilions or things like that, tips on how to do it, the best way, things mm-hmm. that you typically wouldn't think about. He gave us, you know, some input. Yeah. I thought it was a great meeting. Yeah. It was a nice property walk. And then North Hunter and Voorhees met, the Board of Ed met June 18th. They were talking about evaluation for the superintendent, self-assessments, and the goal setting, which happens every year. But there was a few things that I wanted to check with Maren, but I'm afraid I don't want to bother her this summer, but I did hear the presenter say something about shared superintendents between Franklin Township and Union Township.
Really?
And Hampton and Lebanon Township. I'll find out a little bit more about that, but that piqued my interest.
One of those combinations, I swear I read in the review a little bit. I can't remember which one.
But they're looking at shared, the whole point is they're looking at shared services, and she gave those two as an example, mm-hmm. and I was actually impressed that people are actually trying to actually do something. They wanted to, one of the goals is they want to address student stress, mental health. That's one of the things they really want to improve on. And communications. I think basically, I remember back with the Clinton Township School District, they would sometimes have, Dan was one of them, a liaison who would occasionally come to our meetings, not all the time. They were thinking about, they were throwing that idea around, you know, for them to come visit us. And they also talked about a liaison, student liaison for each sending district that would come to the board meeting and actually have an open communication, obviously not, you know, confidential information, but to have an open communication mm-hmm. between the school board, go to the meetings, and then go back, which I thought was, you know, obviously the school would pick who it would be.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a really neat idea, too. But I think that's it. And there was a policy issue, 2530, when it came to the book situation, has been resolved.
Okay.
Have they resolved
it? It was just the verbiage. They just needed to go back to the correct verbiage. It was changed, you know, like a policy review, and it was changed, and people looked at it and said, I don't like that change. So.
Well, just, you know, just to harken back to the Boy Scout thing for a second, I think we more or less agree that we're going to spend a little money, and Jesse and Amy are going to work together and put some ideas on a sheet of paper. We've got prints already done up by the engineering outfit for the demolition bids. So we erase the structures and not do too much more. We can begin to think about, do we want a pavilion here or a barbecue thing over there? You know, what are we talking about? And then once some thoughts get written down so we can kind of see them, I think Amy or Jess or both will visit open space and we'll have a discussion with that committee. Probably during the summer.
Yeah. I know. That was another thing. I think a little vibe of the it seems like the Windy Acres is going to be a little bit of a challenge here and there dealing with different people and different opinions, which is fine. But I got like a little feeling that why did we demo the buildings? And I just want to reiterate that it was a safety concern, that people were in there it needed to get done.
I think even a bad lawyer would call them attractive nuisances.
So I just want to reiterate that fact when it comes to Wendy, because I think it's people are going to have, there's going to be some conflict, I'm sure. But when it comes to the demo of those buildings, I mean, it's just obvious it needed to be done for safety. I mean, plain and simple.
I think you and I could have pushed several over. Yeah. And then probably fall into the
if you didn't fall in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no argument there.
Right.
Goodness.
So, okay, I'm done.
Back to Wendy. I did meet with a local Boy Scout on the troop. And he had more ideas, and he's got kids ready to start doing things. And I talked to Bob Smith, Clinton Town, who's the county or regional Eagle Scout warden. So we had a nice talk, and he's going to start pointing kids at us. I said it doesn't have to be an Eagle Scout project, but a project. So fire pits, picnic tables, they can build pavilions, those kinds of things. Jay and I went over to Camp Carr and looked at what they had.
I love that. Ugh.
And it's really nothing too expensive or extravagant, but really well done.
Yeah. It's just very natural. You don't want to make a carnival out of the thing.
Right. And we're working on the driveway. Of course, every time it rains, it washes out until we get some drain to put in. But that's happening. And the grass is, if you go back up there again, the grass is growing. I mean, it's like, looks almost like a park so far. So that's all happening. The Ring grant, Mark, I've been going back and forth with the woman. She's in California. So we've been trading emails, but we're, you know, hours off. I've got all the details. It's just a matter of letting her know where we're going and how we start the process. She sends us an agreement, and then we have to publicize it and get people to sign up. So we're almost there.
Great.
That's happening. Summer camp started with recreation. So far, so good. We've been busy. We had a couple, I think their first road trip was today. Mm-hmm. They went out. So that's doing well. Of course, Lieutenant Higgins is retiring. He'll be missed. And you know, we'll have to talk about what we're going to do with the organization going forward. But we'll be busy. I think we've also reached out to one of the candidates for officer, or we're about to.
When we last interviewed, I believe we did reach out for a moment and talk to Lieutenant DeRosa and see what he's...
You know, we're even more down.
Yeah.
So that's in the works. And we finally got the agreement with the Board of Ed for shared services. Yay.
Yeah, so temperatures got up to the 90s.
Huh? Yeah. So that's all good. That's all I have.
You know, just you're making me think. I was reading about the Ring thing, and apparently, if I remember this correctly, Mark, you probably know, you get enough of them in a neighborhood, they put in an app so that I'm a little lost in all the details, but it's like if something weird's going on in one home, the other ones can see it or they get an alarm.
Yeah, if you share, if you do a share, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Outside cameras only.
Well, yeah. Well, yes.
Okay, as Jess said, we do have an officer who's retiring. It's a pretty abrupt decision to retire, I would consider. 31-year veteran, had a job opportunity, and he took it. So... we're losing a lieutenant. An officer has already submitted for retirement at the beginning of next year. And we have an officer who's, I think, going to be out on comp for a little while. That's temporary. But you know, here we are right back to the situation where we're now looking to replace people. So you're aware of it. And
well, it's good that you have a little bit of a bench.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And it's good that we keep up on it, and that's why we have a hiring process, and that's why we like to keep a list from our hiring process. But as you all say, it's fluent. It's constantly changing. We might lose a couple more next year.
At least I hope not.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess we're moving on to resolutions. And the first one... probably deserves some comment, and that's the renewal of the Township Liquor License for 2019-2020 to American Golf. I think probably word is filtered around by now that Beaverbrook, the operation, both the banquet hall on 5 acres and the 130 acres or so, the golf course have been sold to two local folks, Pat Catanzaretti and Son, for just shy of $1.5 million. We're going to touch on this a little bit later in a tax appeal. So
I think just to get the liquor license transferred and active, it went to American Golf, even though I think at this point in time today, they're probably not the a simple owner.
They're holding it, though, until,
right.
Yeah, exactly. The transfer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do want to add, Officer Hash, Detective Hash, did complete his investigation into that, so
yes.
That's all set for it.
Good.
Yep, and the transfer will probably be August.
Okay. Any questions? Or
did they, can Tens already close on the?
Yes. June 9th, he closed.
Yes. June 9th? Mm-hmm. How does that work with liquor between now and August?
Well, American Golf's still running the banquet hall and everything for him until everything is transferred to his name. So he just needs a heads up to do the payroll and everything.
Okay, any more discussion? Or? Okay. All right. I'll make the motion.
Second.
You don't need a roll call on this one.
Are we all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you. The next item was pulled. The individual involved has declined the job after some further thought. The next one is authorizing a settlement of American Golf Corp and whoever NGP is, tax appeal. And this has been a long negotiation with American Golf as the as their finances, I don't know if they deteriorated or they were just never particularly good. They felt they were overassessed. And you can see in the resolution, in 2014, they were assessed at almost $5.7 million, and then that declined fairly precipitously to $1.75 million, give or take. So, you know, our tax assessor, who I think does an excellent job for the township, saw this coming, and there were some additional reductions earlier, and, you know, moved fairly expeditiously, but it did sell for less than $1.5 million, and that pretty much eliminated further negotiations. So we are on the hook for about $320,000+. So it is fully negotiated with an entity and everything else, and that's the post-budget bad news, I think. I think we were not too surprised to see the settlement and the order of magnitude of the settlement, which is one of the reasons our rate went up more steeply than usual this year. Any questions or thoughts, concerns?
I guess we had five good years at 5.7. That's the only positive way to look at this.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting that money back. It was steep. It was north of that earlier. I can't remember the earlier history, but
it probably wasn't worth 5.7 for the last 5 years.
There's no question.
Yeah.
No question. They were trying to sell it for, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. We kept
for $2 million?
Yeah. The taxes, so.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll make the motion.
I'll second it.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Mayor Higgin?
Yes. And this is kind of an annual thing. We're appointing an alternate prosecutor, and Kathy Erickson, a regular prosecutor, has recommended that Carl Taylor is qualified to hold the position, and she would like him in it. And
I have to say that I sat in on a Wednesday in court, and Kathy wasn't there. Carl was there.
Ah.
And then I took Carl out to lunch. I think he does a fine job. I sat there for the whole day, and it was a lot of work. Especially with the judge breathing down your neck to get things done. So.
Yeah, it's kind of a, it's something if you ever have, Mark, if you ever have the time, or Amy, it's really interesting. I don't know if you've done that before or not, but.
I spent enough time in court.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't sure. That's where I want to be.
You had a uniform on.
I think so.
I've gone to protect myself now. But it's really interesting, you know.
I
haven't been on the wrong side of that.
It's the busiest circuit in the country in the municipal level.
Yeah. But it is rapid fire stuff when you get 70 people to get out in that 8 hours. So, well, that's a good recommendation. Do you want to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kaczynowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes.
And this is like the horse and carriage. They kind of go together. We're appointing an alternate judge when Judge Perkins is out. And Ed Martin held this position last year, and we're renewing it. Again, with some advice from our prosecutor.
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Next item is the shared service agreement with the Clinton Township Board of Education for the use of recreational facilities for our summer program. And Jess and Tom Sylvia have labored long and hard on this, and of course Trishka had to as well. Go ahead and explain it. You're more familiar than I am.
Well, we've been for years using some of the school facilities for basketball, baseball, summer camp, and they use our fields. In exchange, we plow their snow, driveways in the parking lots, mow the grass, and it's basic shared services thing. But for the last couple of years, it's been stalled. We finally had a breakthrough, and with the new superintendent, we talked to her several times, and it's done. So then Tom did a good job pushing that through.
Is it a fair deal?
Yeah.
Like the snow plowing and the grass cutting is equivalent to us using their courts and fields?
It's pretty standard.
Well, in gymnasiums and...
I mean, there are staff members. It's just
air conditioning and all that stuff.
And they're willing, they don't push us out?
No.
Right. Well, we have to have staff.
Past,
I believe they have to have staff there if you're using their gym.
Well,
a janitor
and a school nurse.
Right.
Yeah. Which we pay for.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, we don't plow their entire parking lot. We plow access.
And the parking lot, yeah.
Oh, we do the parking lot as well.
That was more part of the trade law.
Okay, fair. Okay, I mean, I kind of watched this thing come together, so I'll make the motion.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik? Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Next up, we have two things, and... Ryan, correct me if I'm wrong. These are items, next two resolutions, to equip two new police cars?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so it's a radar setup and, like a visual, a camera.
The camera is for a license plate reader.
Right.
That's one, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have two what are called e-ticket printers. And, yes, they're the outfits and the tuners of vehicles.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so the tuning forks, and I thought, okay, you're tuning the radar.
Well, it says antenna, right?
Yeah, but it's a DSR, enhanced counting unit. Well, there's a 25-mile-an-hour tuning fork and a 40-mile-an-hour tuning fork. So
those are standard. They come with each radar. So
okay. So it's like a full radar setup for two cars and then a full camera setup for two cars.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
There we go.
Got it.
Just wanted to be sure. Okay, so the first one authorizes the purchase of a camera and EP Star bundle from a state contract for a total of right around $15,000.
Those cars currently don't have?
No, they do not. And I want to add that that's coming from the DEA forfeiture fund.
Correct. These are, I believe, the new
that
cars.
That says it in the resolution.
Right.
All right, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Hold on. That was Mark?
Yeah.
Okay, Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. You know, when I was a kid, I used to get my share of speeding tickets, and I never in my life dreamed I'd be asking to authorize buses. Just an observation. So as reprehensible as this is.
I never thought I'd be issuing speeding tickets.
Next item is to authorize the purchase of an antenna radar. Maybe better said, it's two radar systems for two new police cars.
So move.
I'll second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you again. And now we're up to a work session for a deer hunting program. And we talked about this previously in a non-detailed way, but this is an environmentally driven initiative to cull a certain number of deer from our property in excess of the reproductive rate, so that at some slope of the curve, we'll either bend it or we will flatten it out to the point where we see a decline. And we're talking about allowing hunting on four properties. And it's sort of an experiment, if you will, or rather a pilot. And looking at the acreage involved, there's about 15 teams, with 15 lead hunters with two alternates that can hunt when the primary hunter is, generous or just not able to be there. So we've looked at a number of different program regulations. We started with the county, and the state game folks gave us another one for, I don't remember the name of the town, but I think a lot of the ideas came out of the county program. This is kind of a free-form discussion, and I would hope our two hunters, Les and Mike, and Rich, as he cares to join, the chair of the Open Space Committee, would come on up and have a seat, and I don't know, just answer any questions council might have. Pose your own questions.
Are we going to talk about like what we're proposing first, and then how to talk about it? I mean, what are we proposing? They're here for that. Okay.
Yeah, we want to.
Later.
Their real aim is it's a complicated program with a lot of stipulations, a lot of different items. And Micah Versa is one of the founders of Hunters Helping the Hungry, as is Les, and they're both experienced hunters. Jay, our DPW supervisor, was part of the discussion that led to the actual information that's on a piece of paper. And Jesse and I were kind of, I'm certainly a civilian bystander, but I'm not sure how much hunting you've done, Jess, but...
I used to hunt.
Okay, so you're familiar. And I think that group, really came together very well. I mean, it seems like the hunters are happy. It seems like it makes good legal sense. And from Jesse's perspective as the operator, if you will, seemed pretty happy with it. So, and by the way, the other thing we took a lot of for this is a set of regulations Jesse drew up. We kind of merged what Open Space was thinking of, which was county-derived, and that stuff merged very nicely into what Jesse had put together. So it's a real group effort. So would one of you guys want to explain a little bit about the program from the hunter's perspective, say?
Just let me frame it up.
Please.
Yeah.
I started in this position in the Open Space Committee about 18 months ago or so. And I went around and I talked to people. And the need for this was actually one of the first things that came up. This was not something that was on my radar, but just talking to people about what really was needed. And Scott Hender was one of the first people. And I asked him, so what do you think we should be doing? And he said, if you wanted to do something to really help open space here, you would get on top of the deer. And he walked me around to see the properties and show me the level of damage. And then in talking to some of the local experts, such as Mike Van Cleef down in Hopewell, Friends of Hopewell Valley Open Space and the New Jersey Invasive Species Task Force, and then Professor Jay Kelly, who came and talked here on August 8th of last year, there's quite a bit going on from a preservation standpoint regarding destruction of the forest. And it's not just the trees, it's the underbrush, the impact it's having on birds, shrubbery, plants, insects, and so it's a pretty big deal. And in addition, the proliferation of tick diseases is directly correlated with deer populations. The tick disease incidence and ubiquity, the number of different diseases, is growing very quickly here in New Jersey. So there's a lot of reasons that we looked at this. It wasn't something that was driven by people wanting to go out and hunt. In other words, it was driven by something we need to do. I know, Trish, you have some great familiarity with these programs. There are places such as Basking Ridge, Princeton, Hopewell, that maybe have they've been doing things like getting professional hunters out there at great expense. There are places that have tried other programs based on using contraceptive programs that have, to say the least, not performed. And this, what we have here is really some, I've been really blown away by the expertise we actually have here within Clinton Township with Mike and Les and some of the background on how to do these things. And so it's been a great learning experience for me on how we can actually do something to set up this program. And I'm hoping that they'll talk, and I'll also hasten to add, Mayor Higgins and I are the non-hunters here who are trying to set up this program. So I've always said that one of the things we wanted to do is get some people with direct expertise involved in this. I'll just point out one other thing here. Professor Kelly has been doing deer surveys in the area, and partly because people thought we were going to Reddington Township and Raritan Township both went out and they did deer surveys this year, aerial surveys, and the numbers compared to baselines they had from a couple of years ago have really gone up. So the deer population problem is getting worse in this area. And so our neighboring townships are very much, we think, going to launch programs kind of like ours based on some of the things you're going to hear about tonight. So I guess that's what I would say.
And Reddington is, I'm not sure that they had an ordinance ready to go and retract it, but they're changing their program from, you know, let's make money on the property by, you know, bidding it out to the hunters, to a program like ours. And I think Raritan is already doing a program similar to ours, yep, in these parts of the nation.
You want to just, you want a high level on?
Yeah, high level on what our, like, we know we have a problem.
Yeah. Okay, so there are currently four properties that we're putting into. We actually started with three and determined we probably should add a fourth based on where we were going number-wise. So the four properties are obviously Windy Acres, Prospect East, Prospect West, and Hackett's Preserve. And we've walked all, me personally, I've walked all but Prospect West. And you've got a deer problem. I mean, you can see there's no vegetation growing. Les took a first pass at identifying how many hunters per property, and what we ultimately came up with was, correct me if I'm wrong, five at Windy Acres,
five,
three, and three. And part of that came up from the fact that when there's significant fields, that's really not huntable property. Because we require that all hunters use elevated tree stands. Obviously, you can't put an elevated tree stand in a field. So that kind of triggered how many hunters we would have available. Each primary hunter either has to be a resident of Clinton Township or employed by Clinton Township. That hunter is allowed to have up to two alternates. The objective being, we'd love to see hunters hunting 6 days a week. So if I have an alternate that can't hunt on the weekends, hopefully they can get out during the week and they get more field time, let me put it that way.
So the hunters will be assigned to a property?
You're on the application, you identify in order which property you want to hunt, and then I think the way I've read it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jesse, but the hunters then decide what areas they want within that property, and they kind of work it out themselves.
Can a lead hunter and an alternate hunt at the same time?
No.
Because of safety?
Probably because there's not enough property, but the idea is to have the hunters hunt at different points in time. Right. Again, to require more hours in the field.
Can I just quick ask a question? You said 6 days a week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can't hunt Sunday.
Right, I know about Sunday. But, like, say, Claire writes an article and people are hearing that on their open space property there's going to be hunting 6 days a week. What can we tell our residents so they feel safe?
There's going to be special posters that are going to be put up at the entrance of each property that, you know, it's hunting season, the properties are being hunted, you know, please wear blaze orange when you're walking the properties. The objective would be not to be hunting right over walking trails, stay back in the woods. So it's kind of a give and take we have to work.
These hunters will be following some main rules.
We have
rules
we have to follow.
They are not going to be near the path. Okay, I can do that.
And other hunters not part of this program are not allowed to hunt there.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah.
And we have actually come across, Les actually sent photos the other day of certain, I think it was Hackett's, where there's tree stands on the property. He put a note on there. It has to be out of here by a certain date, otherwise we'll take it down.
Yeah. We don't have a hunting club active on a piece of property in this county. And at Merck, that's one of the reasons why we hunt it. We have poachers all over the place, and we know we have poachers driving in from the east onto Windy Acres. That's been going on for a good number of years.
So to your point, Amy, it is a concern. And I guess one of the things is, as Les said, I think there were like six stands at Hackett's or on the adjacent properties there. Right. These properties are already being hunted illegally.
Right.
And interestingly, when you put a program like this in place, I understand that it cuts down on the illegal hunting. So it just gives us perhaps a little more control over what it is. Also, the hunters that are being selected here are experienced hunters with a good track record. Mm-hmm.
And I happen to have a cup of coffee with one of the fellows that's planning to apply, and we discussed.
Is he a current poacher?
No. He's actually the current mower of Hackett's Trail. He happens to live near that area, and we talked about placing the tree stands. And say, for example, at Hackett's Preserve, we're allocating three hunters for there. And each hunter group can have up to two stands. Well, exactly where should the stands go? And that's what we're hoping in the August time frame, just ahead of the opening of the bow season and right after the orientation, that we have a chance to work with the hunters on where the stands go so that they are away from potential pathways, but they're also away from each other, and so that we can work together and make sure that we're not on top of each other nor too close to other residential homes in the area. In the case of Hackett's Preserve, the property just north of Hackett's is in the borough of Highbridge, but it's also owned by the state DEP. And I'm still trying to track down if that property is huntable or if we're going to have other legal hunters next door or not, or whether this is, some other land owned by the DEP for some other reason. So I'm trying to also identify some of the neighboring properties and making sure that we're coordinating there too.
You know what might be helpful, and I know Rich will know this, the first nestable place at least, the area of these parcels, it's about 90 acres for each one of the prospects?
The two prospect properties are under 80.
I have it right here. It's in the information that Les had put together. Hackett's is 80 acres, a lot of fields, which is why there's only three hunters. 80 acres is approximately 270 acres, a fair number of fields, but there's also a lot of woods on. That's why there's five hunters. Prostack East is about 629 acres.
Wow.
Whoa.
You didn't know you had that much prostack. So I was looking at it, and I said, Prostack West is the same size. Both are 80 acres and three primary hunters, but again, a lot of fields in both of those cases.
Is Hackett's off of Old Jericho?
Where
is Hackett? John Drive?
It's off of Sunrise.
Sunrise.
So is the reason you only hunt from a tree stand because if you're in an open field shooting a deer, the bullet could hit someone?
Safety reasons.
So,
you want to be
so you want to come down?
You want to be shooting down to the ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might also be. This was a surprise to me. There's a strong preference on the part of hunters, as I understand it, for bow hunting. The deer get sort of scared off for a few days after a couple of shots go off.
Yeah, your greatest success will be with our let me just back up a second. There's four. We're going to allow four methods of hunting, which is what the state requires, what I call archery equipment, a vertical bow and a crossbow, and then shotgun and muzzleloader. And there's different seasons for each. So the hunter is required to not only have a state of New Jersey license that qualifies for a gun or bow, but then there's permit seasons that they have to go out and buy the necessary permits in order to be able to hunt the necessary season. So the hunting season can go from mid-September to mid-February.
Isn't there, Carl, I think I was talking to you, I do a lot of hiking, and I'm very happy on Sundays because I just don't have to worry about it in case there is, say, a poacher. Did you say there was Sunday they can hunt something now?
You can. In New Jersey, you can hunt on private property only.
Private property.
With archery equipment.
Okay, thank you.
Not with a gun.
Because I swear when I see parks, I see something. Yeah. Labeled and okay.
Yeah, but not you can't because this is not private property.
Okay.
It's township property. It doesn't qualify.
Okay. Thank you.
So all these four properties probably have a parking lot where the hikers will park, right?
Actually, that's one of the concerns with Prospect properties.
There's no parking.
Okay.
Or no, there's no formal parking.
No
right
formal.
Now,
okay.
Before we start talking about that, so the ones that do have parking, because we're controlling the hunters. Maybe it has a good idea that when that hunter gets there, there's a sign he can say, hunter on property. You know, well, the hiker's involved. That'd be very easy to do, right?
The paperwork we get, you're going to have to put it in your windshield. So they know there's a hunter there. So if somebody from the township were to pull up, they know that that vehicle belongs.
Right, but I'm saying for the hiker that comes, let's say the hunter's there and now a hiker comes. If he sees the sign or she sees the sign and the hunter, you know, puts the sign up, I'm here.
Well, I think
it's just another level of awareness.
Yeah, but they put something.
I'll have something in my windshield, but there'll also be a sign at the trailhead wherever people would park that says it's hunting season. There's hunters in the woods.
Okay, so
what you're saying is
even if there's not hunters in the woods, they'll say there's hunters in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And then the hiker will be in the parking lot and see that what is it, orange or something in your.
Well, with the archery season, you're not wearing orange.
Okay.
You're typically in camouflage.
No, I meant in your vehicle. When I'm walking by, no, I'll see your plaque or whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be some form of paper.
Okay.
And maybe we can get it. So,
if I'm
bright.
A hiker and I see five cars, I might want to walk around and just check it out.
Yeah. And that's the objective. We want to make sure that whoever's parked there is parked there for the sole purpose of hunting and it's not somebody intruding.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting that Cushetunk Reserve is a great place for hiking, and that's actually open for hunting, and you do have hunters that go back in there, and so that's something that some hikers do, I think, are at least aware that there are sometimes hunters back in there, but it's not very frequent.
Yeah, I think they have a real problem over there. They have a sign saying bear hunting season. It's dated 2018, and I think bear hunting is a week long.
Correct.
All right. So, unfortunately, people who are there all the time are looking at their sign like, really?
They have to update their signage for a few reasons.
Okay. You know, I've heard.
At the end of the day, that we have to work together
in
order for this to be successful.
Right.
If the hunters are imposing on the hikers, it's not going to be a successful program.
Right.
So I think it's one of the topics we're going to have to discuss in the orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So. And the last 3 years, I've been hunting up in the Delaware Water Gap, and many times we're hiking the Appalachian Trail going out to where we're hunting, and we're encountering hikers and dogs, and we haven't encountered horses, but, it's very pleasant, the interchange that we've had with the folks. I have not, in the 3 years, been up there, had any, negative issues with the folks going by, that we each are doing what we like to do, and we respect each other. So it's been a pleasant experience, I hope, for both.
Just getting back to something, Tom, that you brought up. So of the four properties, there's a great parking lot at Hackett's Preserve that the DPW maintains, and there's also access, thanks to what you gave Jesse, what the DPW has done, access there through the roads to Windy Acres. And then the issue that Mike mentioned was the two Prospect properties, where right now you can pull up along, off, go off the shoulder on 629, I guess, and there's a place you can pull off of Payne Road. But this is one of the things that Jesse and Jay are working with the DPW to see what can be done to provide access there to those properties so we can use it. And part of the issue is that where the best areas we'd like to get cleared on Prospect East are up over a hill. So there's a bunch of logistic issues that are still being.
I think the hunters are going to have to hike a little.
You know,
that's why you guys like hunting, is one of the reasons.
Just that property, you have to hike it. It's a big piece of property. Yeah. But the issue really is you have to cross 629. And if you do get a deer and you have to drag it across the roadway, you actually have to come down an embankment to get to the other side of the road. So it's a real safety concern.
So, yeah, we're still working the details on that one. Mm.
Yeah. Prospect West has a small parking area. It needs a little bit of work. I mean, really a little bit. And on Windy Acres, the last time we were up there, I think I heard somebody say that the road got washed out with some rain. But where the bridge is, it's a real long hike in to get to the hunting on the far side, I'll say the eastern side of the property. So ideally it would be there's some kind of key system to allow the hunter to get in and get more towards where the buildings were, and then you can kind of base yourself out of there and then go hunting.
You know, Mike, we talked a little bit about this. My church has it. There's these little boxes you buy with the push pins and at $30 or something.
And you can change the code.
Yeah, give the combo to the hunters that are doing Windy Acres.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So
The other thing I was been working a little bit with is the Farm Bureau, and they're doing drone studies too, and they're pushing that the deer is an epidemic. I'm not quite sure we've reached that stages, but the poor farmers are in a place where they're abandoning property rather than farming, and you're losing a whole economic engine there of revenue and expenses, and plus if a particular property is essentially abandoned, now you end up with invasive plants coming in, and now you're spending money to try to brush hog the place once or twice a year. And the idea is to try to get some of these deer taken out to give some of the farmers a half a chance of making a profit on the property. And I think that's going to be coming more and more prevalent as the Farm Bureau gets the results of some of their drone studies in. One of the early studies was up in Warren County where they're seeing 200 deer per square mile. And, you know, our hunting buddies are complaining there's no deer in Warren County. And, well, you know, it's a real oxymoron here in some cases.
Now they're around.
Yeah. These numbers are if they're not correct, they're very close to correct. The number that Scott Fucus had given on Windy Acres was that one of he'd taken some number of acres out of production because he couldn't get any crop, and another one of his fields, and so that's just going back to Russian olives now. Another one of his fields, I think it was a 65% crop.
Yeah, we talked about that at the last meeting.
Yeah. So the numbers are quite high, and Scott Hender also is finding numbers that are in the 30 to 50% loss of crop. So if even though that's only two data points, if that's what farmers in this area are experiencing, that can't be good. Looking at the town seal.
So when a hunter fills this out for the primary hunter, he's responsible for finding the two alternates?
Yeah. I'll walk you through.
Oh, okay.
I actually went through and filled out all the paperwork. So, and I have some observations as a result of doing that. I mean, first of all, the primary hunter is responsible for filling out. My responsibility to now find one or two alternates, hopefully two, that I feel would be qualified to go in and we'll, you know, take. The objective is to try to take 10 deer per team. For example, and we are stipulating that, correct me if I'm wrong, two does before you can take a buck.
10 deer per team per?
For the entire season.
September through.
So in theory,
is that a lot?
We have 14. Like we have 14 hunters, so that's 140 deer.
That's 140 deer off of less than a half square, well, about 3/4 of a square mile. 140.
And again, I think you said it best, Mr. Mayor. It's really this is a pilot.
Right. Yeah.
To see what bugs need to be worked out. So, I mean, I was just telling Rich that, you know, I only found one alternate. The other one I had, since he doesn't have the time, so now it's on two of us to try to get 10 deer, because the way the ordinance is written is, if I don't get 10 deer, I can't come back next year.
Oh.
Well, we can always
that's an incentive clause.
But maybe we ought to soften the
word. We can tweak that.
Yeah.
Each hunter has to have $1 million of insurance. And the Federation of Sportsmen has, if you join them, you can get $1 million of insurance. But the one thing is, I don't know if you can name the township as additional insured.
Is that typical for a hunter? I have $1 million of insurance?
I get it every year.
Yeah.
I do too. It's $40.
$40.
Oh, okay. So that's not.
And you know what it is? It's a stopgap between my. It's a stopgap before my homeowner's insurance.
Yes.
Yep. And for $40, you can't find it anyplace else for that kind.
So for everybody that's applied is using that.
Yep.
But I don't. I believe, and I have my policy here, which expires in another month or so. But nowhere in there does it allow me to allow the township to be an additional insured. So that's also in here that we again. Okay. Some of the tweets.
But you know what? That $40 at the million, my million umbrella, which is only, you know, homeowners is 500 and then, you know, by the umbrella, that's 300 a year.
Yeah.
Basically 500. Right. And exactly, it speaks to the risk involved.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've been getting it for years.
I'm going to save my questions until you're done.
No, that's okay.
I'm feeling
The permit fee is $50 per team. Which will help defray some of the costs. The obvious objective here is the hunters take whatever deer they want and use for their personal consumption, but then obviously we're hoping that some of the deer will get donated to Hunters Helping the Hungry, because it'd be pretty tough for people to consume 10 deer.
Right.
And then I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the township plans on paying for the donated deer.
Correct. Jesse's working that out.
That's nice. In the latest documents that you sent out today.
What's the price per deer again? I should know. This is 120.
As part of the program,
hunters
$75. But no. For the hunters, the hungry, it's 20 or 40, depending on the size of the deer, and then a match. So it's less than 75 a deer.
The butcher charges $75.
Right.
Not the ones I talked to.
No,
it's $75.
Yeah, because I wrote a couple checks and. It's 60 to 75 when I...
Yeah.
60 was an old number, probably.
Yeah.
You haven't hit me up lately.
I think it was 60 up until a year or two ago, and they asked us if they could get an increase because they're charging the general public way more than that. So it's $75 to process a deer. Non-township, we require the hunter to pay $25?
Well, it depends.
I just like the question. I apologize. Jesse, for you, we're talking about the insurance. One of the employee applicants asked, is it too late?
No.
Okay, because I think he just got insurance through Sportsman Federation.
Yeah. Okay. That's what most of us will have, is the Sportsman's Federation.
So one of the teams might say, we're going to take all 10, right? Therefore, there's no cost to the township. Another team might say, we're taking 2, and you pay for 8.
Right.
There's no guidelines around that? So we have to look at a max expense of the hunters will take 0, just for a plan.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yes. Okay.
Fair.
And can you take more than 10?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
So we really don't know where our max is.
We do, and not on our dime.
Right. Personally, I think 10 per team.
And we probably need to clarify that.
Be tough.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Personally, 10 per team is going to be tough.
Yeah, it'll be tough.
That's going to be.
I know, but the accountant in me. It's an open-ended number.
Yeah. I think somebody said it earlier that, you know, your greatest chance of reducing the number of deer is really your archery seasons, because once the noise starts with the guns, the deer are going to start to. It's going to be more difficult. So it'll happen, but I think your archery season is where you should see the biggest influx of deer taken.
I guess there could be a tweak in there someplace that if they get 10 or so, or if the numbers are starting to get too high, well, it would just shut her down. You know, no more hunting.
Or it's just on their dime. You know, just we could certainly put a limit.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a great point. We may want
to. Each team up to 10 could be on us.
Yeah.
But the beauty of the program is once the deer is donated and they pay for it, the hunter doesn't get to walk back in and pick it up and eat it.
Right.
So it's kind of a self-policing program.
Right.
And I know Jay was talking about
4 or 5
himself.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we at home, we consume 4 to 5 deer a year.
I'll eat 1 or 2.
I'll take some stew.
There are some programs that are kind of like this, but are done through professional hunters. I mentioned Basking Ridge and I think Princeton and Hope. Mm-hmm. And the average deer with those is like $400 to $500 per deer. So this is a little more efficient than that.
On the other aspect of it too is, you know, we are collecting some fees, and that those fees have to go to the open space trust fund. And in turn, what we pay the butchers comes out of the open space trust fund. So this is not coming out of normal township.
That's right. Open space money is paying for this. So.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
Correct. And we, you know, with the voter question, and we're never going to spend 50% of the income on improvements.
That's a high level of.
Who approves the primary hunter?
Who approved the primary hunter?
Yeah, who's in charge of getting these applications?
We're going to trust him. Yes,
Jesse will collect them. I think they're due by next week.
I think so.
The folks
they're coming in. I've already gotten a bunch.
And then there's going to be a program, I guess, run by Clinton Township Police.
Yeah.
Go through all the rules.
Okay.
There might even be some qualification that the hunters may have to go.
So is there a chance the primary could get approved and the alternates not?
If they have all the paperwork, why would they not be?
Well, if they don't pass, I mean, there's certain eligibility requirements. If
yeah,
meet
correct.
Them.
Yeah. There could be lots of reasons why they don't pass.
Correct.
They might come across your desk that you know is a bad dude.
Or a background check.
And they don't hunt.
Right.
I know. But I'm saying, if the primary is approved, the alternates could be not approved.
Right.
I'm just trying to cross all the T's.
And then it would be my responsibility as a primary to either find another alternate, or it's my job to go in and
get 20 deer.
As many deer as I can.
Right.
So get them all.
You said you're in a situation, you're in a primary, you only have one alternate. If we get an application for a primary, but we already have our 15 primaries, couldn't that person potentially go under you as an alternate too?
Absolutely.
I guess upon your approval?
Yeah.
I would have. Especially
if the situation is such that maybe they're part of the police department and they can get off during the week and I can't. That's ideal.
Right.
Yeah, I would think that, you know.
We should facilitate that and that.
Well, but the guy coming in from the outside has to pass two examinations. So that's compatible with the other one or two hunters. And then, of course, pass the police check on their record in terms of game violations.
One other thing I did forget to mention, and I think it's important, is we are going to allow automatic feeders.
Baiting.
Yeah.
Baiting. What we don't want is people dropping bait on the ground and leaving it there. So they have these feeders where you can set them to go off at certain times of the day. So, for example, I have
two on
my
property. Your house.
Right. They go off at 8 a.m., and right now they go off at 5:30 in the evening. And then the objective is, because we want to take deer, is hope. The hope is that the feeders will attract the deer, they'll come in, and you'll get an opportunity to take them.
Right. And so that's really a way to concentrate the deer on the open space properties and increase the chance of.
That's the hunter's cost.
You're doing this strictly for hunting purposes, this automatic feeder in your yard or.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, because I did want to bring something up in regards to other people feeding deer residents.
There's actually an order.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I want to go off. Maybe I can address it when you're done. But
yeah, sure.
I was hoping to maybe address it and get an ordinance together because there's a problem.
There is something that I know that the state is looking at.
Well, I looked at the wild fishing game. They only said bear. It's illegal to feed bear, and they have a listing here of all the, you know. Feeding increases reproductive potential. Deer lose their fear for humans. Deer feeders are bad neighbors. They end up eating all the shrubs next door. Feeding sicken and kill deer, in fact, and change their behavior. And obviously the main thing is ticks. I mean, why would you want ticks in your yard? So there was a couple residents that actually reached out to me. I think a neighbor, a new neighbor came in and was feeding the deer, and they're reaching out to me asking for some type of
For some reason, I think there is something in the fishing game about feeding deer outside of hunting purposes.
If there is, it's new, because I know in Princeton we had to put an ordinance in place to prohibit it.
Yeah. We don't have one.
Maybe it's in the works then.
I actually feed them all year round, but the sole purpose is for hunting.
That's different.
If I didn't have feeders, I think I said this at a previous meeting, I would never pull the deer out of Hook Mountain. They have great shrubbery up there.
You know, mowing the grass there, noisy mower, and the deer standing in the front lawn.
They don't care.
Got about 6 feet away, and I finally had to yell at them to make them leave.
Can I add my property to the list of four?
I got you covered. Don't worry about it.
So in regards to maybe doing an ordinance, you would be supportive as experts that this is something we should probably do.
Yeah. Well, and
because I did want to talk about process in terms of implementation. Because there's what these guys have put together is very detailed and very comprehensive. And there are probably elements of it that you might need to adjust from year to year. There are certain elements, though, that are going to remain the same, that we would want to have be the same year in, year out. And so my recommendation is you put an ordinance right in your code, deer management, goes into your parks chapter. That contains the fundamentals that will never change. I mean, we may need to, but that you would want to have hold firm from year to year. And then by resolution, you would adopt the really detailed rules and regulations for that year, including designating the properties, the number of hunters, all of that. Because that's the kind of thing you definitely want to have flexibility on. Other things like the minimum qualifications to apply, those should be ordinanced. So you guys actually have a draft that I put together that I also need you guys to review carefully.
Yeah.
Okay.
Open spaces tomorrow, so they'll have a chance.
Good. Hopefully PD can take a look. And just, again, understand not everything in your package is in the ordinance, and that's intentional.
Right. Actually, what I'd like to do is maybe if you're in the office on Friday, I'd like to stop down because having filled out the application, I've got a couple of thoughts for tweaking it as we go forward. But
I won't be there, but you can drop it off.
I'll be there.
Yeah,
but then by resolution, council would be approving.
Or email me.
By resolution each year, the council would approve, not the application form because it doesn't matter how that's laid out, but the set of regulations that you guys have put together that are very detailed. And that, I would envision the process then being annually by resolution, council adopts those regulations they apply for the year.
Yep. That might be one of these regular August things.
What's the deadline for this?
It's actually next Friday.
Isn't that kind of soon?
Actually, it's not.
We're
a little behind.
Yep.
I mean, in theory, I'll use me as an example. If I get selected, I want to be able to get onto the properties and identify where I would put tree stands and so forth and so on and
post signs.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I don't want it to look like we let all our friends file the application a week and a half before we talk about it on council. That's my concern.
I mean, we can push it out a week or two, but you really need to start getting active if you're going to put tree stands up. Yep. Jesse just made it.
I understand that timing.
But we also have to post every year.
We have to post the property too.
Remember, this year is
the hammer because you don't like what I said.
No.
He never uses it.
Oh, I've seen him use it a couple of times.
Now, this year's an experiment, so we really wanted to have hunters that we were familiar with and really, really trusted. The county has a lottery program, with the qualification that we've got with the county. So it may be that next year.
That's good you said that. I can buy it now. Yeah. We have at least
the county program. People line up. They start lining up the day before to get the permit.
Yeah.
The first day is county residents only, and then the second day is non-residents.
So, can I ask a question? Because one of my questions was about the requirement that in order to get a permit, you have to either live or work in the township. What's the basis for that?
I mean, we kind of went off the county program, which is where they open it to county residents first.
Mm-hmm.
And if the permits are sold out under county residents, the non-residents don't get it.
We don't have that many.
I mean, I don't
have an issue giving preferential treatment. My concern, though, especially because these are, you know, properties subject to Green Acres regulations, mm-hmm. is just solely limiting it to people who you know work or live here.
So
I don't
want to prefer preferential treatment.
Well,
not a requirement.
Ideally, I would like it just so that whoever wants to apply can apply.
So can we just say what the county says?
Yeah.
Putting township residents,
I mean,
first?
If that works for legal counsel, yeah. I'm
non-resident.
I mean, I think we can say, look, anybody in the state can apply, but permits will be issued, you know, preference will be given to people who live or work here.
I feel a little safer knowing that people who lived here care about us.
Well, they also pay the open space tax.
Yes,
their land.
But when you have funded parkland, people from all over New Jersey have paid.
This is really a pilot, and we know there's going to be some hiccups that we're going to have to modify. So maybe if we open up more properties next year because we were successful, maybe we do have to have a designated day where it's open to county residents and county employees on the first day, and then it opens up to very similar to what the county does.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I have a question.
You know, it's a pilot. We're trying to get this off the ground. Like Mike said, we could certainly duplicate the county program. This year we may not have a lot of enthusiasm because it is a small scale program. The county hunts 8,000 acres, they say. So, you know, if this is successful, you might have enough enthusiasm next year to really have that hard deadlines.
I actually think you're going to have a lot of enthusiasm because the biggest issue for hunters today is access to property.
Mm-hmm.
By far the biggest issue.
Trishka, I'm just curious. If we opened it up to the entire state, wouldn't we get flooded with applications? I mean, doesn't an argument exist that we're really not equipped to handle how many 50,000 applications?
Yeah. For 15 slots, right? Or 14 slots.
Yeah. I'm talking more just in terms of the eligibility to apply, but what I just reworded in the draft is, you know, the permits are available to anyone in the state of New Jersey, but when permits are issued, priority will be given to individuals who live or work in Clinton.
So then, but then they would be completing the application
in a circular file.
Correct. The one thing the county does is, I have this correct. Day one is county resident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I believe what they do is anybody that did a mail-in that's a county residence, if there's anything left over, they come first. So they get the back end of the day. So if there's five permits left and there's 20 people that applied, I guess they somehow draw it out of a hat or they somehow date stamp them, those people get the permits for that day. Then non-county residents would get no permits because there wouldn't be any available.
In Montgomery, they just do a straight lottery. Anyone in the state can apply. It's first come, first serve. It's on a lottery. But what they did in Montgomery was once the program was underway, if you've hunted a particular property and you've demonstrated that you've been successful in taking out a lot of deer, you get first pick of that property because they want to make sure that they get the same hunters coming in year after year because then you get to know the property.
Yeah, we should have something
it's
like
safer,
that.
It's more efficient. So I could just pick up the language that we used in Montgomery if that's the way you guys want to go. But I'm not going to fall on my sword over this. We can try it, and if somebody challenges us, but I do have a slight concern about it.
I would say if it's good enough for the county, you know, just you can open it up to the world, but at some point in time, but this year we don't have a lot, we don't have anything. Basically, the Open Space Committee and people that are constructing are putting the applications in. So maybe next year, do the county thing. You know, we could do a walk-in. But I remember the county procedure like Mike does. Walk-in, later in the day, the mail-ins that are time-stamped.
Right.
And then the following day or a couple of days later, the rest of the world. You know, it has a preference. In that kind of a system, with a lot of land at the public, you don't know if you're going to get. You don't know if you're going to fill up all the slots.
I think that's a more true statement when you're the county with 8,000 acres than here.
The applications that Jess has, where did they hear about it?
Where did who hear about it?
How many applications do you have?
Five.
All right. Those five probably heard about it from your team.
Well, they may have either been part of the
group that's
been working or the township.
I just want to make a point about a background check, and that is, and I'm not a hunter, so I don't really know, but if anybody in this room, if you gentlemen had interaction with the police department, I could look in our in-house records and say, okay, we've had six or seven interactions with them. That's not a criminal history check. But if someone from some other part of the state, what's that, Tricia?
Yeah, it's not a full criminal background check, though, like you're thinking of.
Well, my question is, how would I know if someone from Wantage applied, they haven't had a history of weapons possession or weapons?
Well, there's a certification that they have to fill out. Plus, I believe that to get state hunting license and permits, there's background checks at that level as well. But what you are required to check for is whether there have been any Fish and Game Code violations in the past 5 years. And, I know all of my towns, they do it. So having not done it personally, I can't tell you exactly how you do it, but I know it must be fairly straightforward because all the PDs in my towns are doing it.
One of the Fish and Game guys lives in town. He's going to handle it.
Yeah. We can ask.
But one of the forms they have to submit is just, consent to have you guys do that check. Otherwise, in terms of everything else, they have to file a certification.
Is part of the program expanding the hunting times?
No.
What do you mean?
Like the time of the day, stuff like that?
You follow.
I know we had talked about that.
We actually last year. We did the enabling ordinance that changed the language in terms of weapons being allowed and also the time a hunter can be. It's now an hour before.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that we maybe move to park in the parking lot. I was going to make a suggestion. I know it's 1 hour before legal hunting time and 1 hour after. I was going to suggest that maybe we modify the beginning because some of us like to get in the dark. And then the concern I have on the back end is if you do hit a deer and you have to find it, you could be out there for a few hours. So technically I'd be in violation if it's a 1 hour cutoff. So I just some thoughts.
Yeah, we want to make it as easy as possible for you guys to do your numbers. So we need to expand the time another hour in the front.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, if I know there's 3 or 4 or 5 hunters on the property, I will traditionally be the first one in the woods in the dark, hoping that those guys that are coming in behind me are going to push deer.
I think that's an easy fix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just have to go back in the sections that we had amended, but I think that's an easy fix. As long as you guys are comfortable leaving it open-ended. From a drafting perspective, it's easy.
One other point, you talk about the township paying for the processing of the deer. I think that's only if it's donated to Hunters Helping the Hungry.
Right. For a maximum of 10.
Yeah, good point.
Well, that's not in the...
It's not here now, but that's a great point.
And we actually had a stipulation in there, for more than 10, check with the township first, and it just sort of left or vanished.
And I think part of the idea here is to have email addresses and texts so that we can be communicating throughout the year with these folks, and they can be communicating with us. So that
we nice to have a metric, I know it sounds crazy, on the website. For between teams, 14 teams, right? At the end of the first week, we're up to 6.
Why not? I don't want to make this a contest. That's
one of the things we do want to do, especially since it's a pilot, is we want to meet during the hunting season with the hunters and get feedback and say what's working, what's not working, do you like the setup, what would you modify, so that this way we have something to work off of as we move forward and open up more properties.
We did establish an email to report deer taken, so it's like deer@township.com.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Just we can see it, the decision makers.
Yeah.
And, part of the reason for...
I think contests are good, by the way. Go ahead.
I think part of the reason for the stipend or the license fee is that I would at least envision somebody doing some clerical work. It could be a high school intern, it could be one of the hunters, and Steve has time, but I would imagine somebody is going to be pressed into accumulating the stats, so mid-season, end of season,
right,
they'll be available and we can look at it. And that goes maybe to the language in terms of the maximum taken. Maybe the original language where we said, you know, we want you to get 10, you want to go above that, let us know. It's, team A is getting 2, team B has got 10 and wants to get 15. You know, gives us that kind of flexibility.
I mean, the objective, the objective is 140 deer. And if
that's
one
number,
team
right,
takes 20 and one team takes 6,
right,
it just worked out that way.
And that's going to be a function not just of the team, but also the location.
Correct.
Some of these locations are pretty thick deer.
Yeah.
And so I would have to make it so thou must stop because you hit 10. So we can figure out a way to handle exceptions above that.
I did read.
Yeah, when I said before a maximum of 10, I meant that the municipality would pay for, not that you're entitled
for.
Yeah.
Right, right. I did read through the draft. Some comments?
Sure, or even if you want to email them tomorrow, make them now, whichever.
Will you tell me what you want me to do?
We seem to have had a nice dialogue. We seem to be somewhat in agreement. What do we do from here?
Do we need to make a motion?
Well, no.
I think we're drafting something first.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. So the intent is to have this ordinance ready to go for you guys to introduce on July 8th.
Okay.
10th. And then July 10th. Sorry. I have a different. I've got two agendas closing that week. And then adoption in August. And at the same meeting where you adopt the ordinance, you'll do the resolution with the detailed package.
That'll give it a decent
but the
time
applications are due next Friday. That's a disconnect.
This is the
for me.
First year where the approval, the timing on the approvals is catching up to
right,
when the applications are coming.
But
in.
We're
not
okay doing that,
case.
Is my question.
I'm fine with it because it's the first year. It's just the reality that you're getting applications while you're still trying to work everything, the final.
For example, my alternate's out on the West Coast right now, so I called him. I said, you got to start filling your paperwork. And he said to me, but I never got the Federation, so I said, get on the Federation website and fill out the application, and hopefully by the time you get back, it's already in the mail. So he did.
Email it,
it's a learning process.
This makes sense. Are you going to the open space tomorrow?
Yeah.
Why don't you kick it around, the ordinance, because that just came out this afternoon. And,
right.
And then just do a markup or email.
Yeah, I don't need your comments in a minute.
I'll send
them
to you.
I would ask for them by Friday because I'm not here next week, so.
I can do that.
Nobody's here next
final
week.
I believe.
You were up late last night.
I believe you were on the email that the mayor sent today, so I can scan everything over to you.
Yes.
Perfect.
And I also have a business card if you want me to.
And if Jess doesn't have 14 by next Friday, it's still extended. We could still fill it up after the deadline, right?
I think you'll get 14 easy.
Okay. 14 qualified people.
You'll get 14 people.
14 per minute.
Chances are there's going to be more than that.
Right, he's got 5 now.
And I think your point is a good one. If I have a spot as an alternate, we need 42 hunters.
Yeah, right.
That's really
right.
The objective.
That's the number.
I think Ryan needs a little.
I just never got a chance to finish my thought. I just very quickly. There would be a lot of enthusiasm statewide, correct?
Oh, sure.
Okay. How many applications do you think we would get if we opened it up statewide?
Oof. Hundreds.
Hundreds?
Hundreds.
And this check, this fish and game background check that you got, how long does that take per applicant?
I have no idea.
We don't have to do it for all 100.
Yeah.
It's only the ones we select.
But what I think,
how do you
correct me if I'm wrong, you're going to get all these applications.
Select?
How is he going to decipher what's what? Is that
Township residents first?
That's
and then you go approve them. And if they fail the approval, you go to the next one on the list.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're wasting your time.
It's a lot of work.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Yeah.
The first day, you do the county does. The first day, they do county residents. And then if they're full, they're done. If they're not full, the next day, they look at the out-of-county. And it's only when, that's a way to limit the number of checks one has to do.
You do the least expensive part of the application for us last.
Okay.
So Jess says, all right, proves he's a county resident, all these other things that don't cost us anything to verify. He gets 14 people. We now go approve them where it might cost us time. And if they all pass, we're done. So we're only really approving 14.
You go to the next name on the list.
Then what would be the advantage of opening it up statewide if we're certain?
State regulation.
I don't think there's an advantage, but Tricia says legally it might be necessary.
Green acres. Not.
Yeah. And I think our out this year is it's a pilot.
This year we're not going to have the issue.
And by the way, we're only checking fish and game violations. Mm-hmm. That's what we're checking.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Are you trying to like grasp right? around right. how many things are going to be coming in and how you're going to organize it?
No, it's certainly a concern.
Well, I'm just curious.
Because it's just not even making logical sense to me. I understand there's state regulations, but if there are a sufficient number of hunters in Clinton Township and employees of Clinton Township who are going to participate in the program, why open it up statewide if we're not even going to get to look at them?
So the risk of sounding like a broken record, Green Acres regulations.
Well, so then Green Acres regulations cause us to do unnecessary work for doing unnecessary work.
I would take this offline, Mr. Ryan, and I'd be happy to explain after the meeting how to minimize the effort involved. That's something that's sensible.
Or we can even look at another township that maybe dealt with
it. Well, I think there's also, they just see ways of tweaking the language so that it says itself in the resident. There's probably some ways of playing with this. Because, Ryan, I don't think any of us are interested in overburdening your department. And that's certainly not the goal. And let's just see how we can phrase it so that Green Acres doesn't have an issue, but we're also not inadvertently resulting in getting 50,000 applications.
Are you concerned that do you know that the Green Acres regulations would lead to not requiring us to do that? Or
it depends on whether it's funded or unfunded parkland, who you have to open it up to. With funded parkland must be accessible to anybody in the state of New Jersey. Hunting is a recreational activity. Depending on who you get at Green Acres, they are more or less hyper about this stuff. And I've had so many headaches dealing with them that if there is a way to frame an ordinance so that we don't have Green Acres telling us that it's invalid, I'd rather do it that way. But I'm also very mindful of what Ryan's bringing up. Yep. So let's see if there's just a way of coming up with some language. And again, because we're at the ordinance level, if we knew that this was only ever going to happen on unfunded parkland, then that issue goes away. But you don't want to limit yourself that way in the ordinance itself, even if in a given year you're only on unfunded parkland. So I know that we can come up with this.
Yeah. Which is a very practical way to ensure that effort's limited. Does anybody know? Does it have to be done by an officer? Could it be done by an intern? Criminal background checks, obviously.
That I don't know, and that may just be a question of putting in a call to the
Fish and Wildlife. We can find out next day or two exactly what's involved with Fish and Game background check.
I'm happy with the program. Can't make a motion, but I would.
Yeah, I would. And before we close the deer topic, if we're closing it. How are we feeling about an ordinance in regards to residents feeding deer?
Yeah, I think we all said.
Well, mentioned that there's been more recent changes in state law, that it's not allowed now under...
I thought there was something already in place against feeding deer outside of hunting. But I know there was a bill working its way through.
I didn't read it, but it's not there yet.
It came up at one of our hunters helping the hungry board meetings. Yeah. One of the people from the state showed us the proposed bill.
Thanks.
Can you send it to me?
I'll try to find it. Yeah.
Because I'd love to see the language of it, and then we have a deer feeding ordinance in Princeton that I can use, but I'd really like to see what that bill is.
Yeah,
maybe I can take some language out of that for local workers.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
The neighbors that are complaining.
Yeah.
That I don't think I'll have to
do. The
okay, but you said you could get one from another, so maybe in a month?
Yeah.
So we can. Okay.
Did we answer everybody's questions?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah?
I just had one thing. It's my personal feelings and reservations aside, I am concerned about the background check part. I've never heard, and kind of reinforces it listening to what Lieutenant Melski said about a background check specifically for fish and game violations. And Ryan said it, well, how do you do that? Like, it's not like you can go in there and check, okay, guns, drugs, simple assault,
There is no database.
There's no database for just for fish and game violations.
would Jody Powers
be independent of the criminal database? Right. That's really sure the question.
Would Jody, I mean, Jody Powers,
yeah, they would
you guys want to reach Jody out to her?
That's
okay. And Ryan, maybe Montgomery does it, so maybe give the chief down Montgomery a ring.
Yeah.
You know, because you guys both talk sure. the same language.
You say you have
but I swear that the county has that check in their
yeah, procedure. I do. It's just...
if you'd like to talk no, offline...
Yeah, know. Offline. Sure.
Sure.
I don't want to be real clear about my question. If we opened it up statewide, which I understand we have to, I think I could supply the answer. Every hunter in the state is going to apply. And if we were to give out those applications initially, when the township can already cover it and the township gets preference, I think that's my thing. Not that if the township didn't have it and then we opened it up, I understand that. If the law is the law, then so be it. But if we have the 15 people or the 5 times plus 3 plus 3 plus 3, then I don't see the need to print that many applications up.
I will tell you my alternate is a non-county resident.
But he's your alternate.
The primary has to be either a resident or an employee.
So that even brings the number down further.
Yeah. All right. Well, I thank you all very much for coming out. And
you can email you.
I think this dialogue will really help us get this to the ordinance and resolution stage.
Yep. Where's the phone? Tom, we got to do vouchers.
Yes, yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. We're up to paying the bills. And
I didn't say anything.
I had a good look at him this afternoon, as Jesse knows. And are there any discussion items in the bills or anything of that sort?
Make a motion to pay the bills.
Nope. Second.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. And we're now up to the second public comment period. Looks like a quiet public out there. So I see no motion. So Councilman Strauss, you are on the spot.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
Thank